Welcome to the very first episode of F-Stop Collaborate and Listen with host Matt Payne. This is a podcast that I've had idea for a long time and finally excited to get it launched. My first episode is with a really awesome guy from Vancouver, Washington. He is a guy that I've been admiring on Instagram for quite a long time. He does a lot of astrophotography and star photos, which is one of my biggest passions. His name is Kevin Shearer. He goes by KDS Photography on Instagram. Just really great guy. Love the chat that I had with him. Sounds like we have a lot in common. Hopefully you'll like the conversation we had, and hopefully this will be a great start to an awesome podcast. Just wanted to give a special thanks to my friend Nicole Buetti, who allowed me to use her awesome composition called Galaxies for the intro music and the exit music. Enjoy the podcast. Switch, so it was like you couldn't. I don't know. It sounds so much better now.
You can only. This was my son's like gaming headset, but it only works in the left ear, so I can only hear you in my left ear. So it works.
Hey, whatever works, right?
Exactly. And I was like, oh yeah, we got one of these. This will work out perfect.
Awesome. Yeah. So this is the first time that I've used this to record. So hoping for the best. I mean, I did some testing, but. I don't know. I think it'll work out pretty good.
That'll be perfect.
Cool. Have you done any podcasts before?
I have never done a podcast before, so this is my first time.
Sweet. We're both losing our virginities then.
All right. We can move it together.
All right. So, Kevin, thanks so much for coming onto the podcast.
Yeah.
Really appreciate it. I started following you on Instagram probably about 2 years ago now, I think it was.
You were probably one of the first then.
It started. Yeah, so caught my eye because you just had super awesome, crisp star photos from Lost Lake.
Oh, yeah. That was like one of the first places I went.
Yeah, that's... So I don't know if you knew this. I actually lived in Portland for 2 years.
That's right.
And so, like, you know, that's one of my still special place in my heart. photos of Oregon and that's Pacific.
That's one of the places that when I started, I was like, I have to photograph there. That was the number one place I wanted to get to was Lost Lake.
Yeah. So how did you find out about Lost Lake?
I think it was a Ben Kaufman photo.
Oh, Ben Kaufman. Okay. Yeah.
So I did a workshop. So I did two workshops. I did one with Dave Morrow and then another one a month later with Ben down at Fort Rock. And so that started my whole night photography, whatever you want to call it, career, I guess.
Journey.
Journey. Yeah, the journey is way better. And so I did those, and it was Ben's photo. It wasn't the Milky Way, but it was just such an awesome photo that that's what started me wanting to go see that. And it's not very far away, and it's just gorgeous. So,
yeah,
a little overrun now, but secret's out.
Yeah, no, Ben's a really cool guy. I actually never got to shoot with him, but like we traded Facebook messages like probably 200 times. Like, hey, I'm going here this weekend. Do you want to go? And We never could make it work out, but we were actually planning on doing a trip to, like, I want to say it was like Mount Jefferson, like somewhere beneath Mount Jefferson, and yeah, we just never pulled it off together at the same time. But
oh yeah, his workshop was really good. He's a really good guy too. I really like him. So
yeah, super guy. Just super helpful. Like answers any questions you have.
Yep.
Yeah, totally. That's cool. Yeah. I've been following Ben for a long time.
Yeah, so I followed him, and then it was Dave Morrow that was the first one I did. That was all the way out in Mount Rainier in
Okay, cool.
2015.
Nice. Yeah, so I was in Portland from 20, let's see, what was that? Late 20, I guess it was early 2014 through late 2015.
Oh, okay, yeah. So we like just missed each other. I only shot like a couple times in 2015. Did two workshops and then tried to get out. I was like, why did I wait so long and had to wait until last year for all the, great Milky Way action?
Man, that's crazy. So you've really only been doing this for 2 years.
Yeah, July of this year will be like 2 years. That was my first Milky Way was in Mount Rainier at the end of July or middle of July, 20.
That's cool, man. You've crushed it. Yeah, I kind of had a similar experience. I think it was like 20, I'm trying to think now, like 2010, I started seeing photos from oh shit, what's his name? Ben Canales.
Oh, yeah, Ben's great, yeah. There's a lot of good
I started seeing night photos from him, and then I started seeing night photos from David Kingham. I don't know if you follow him at all.
I follow his website too, like the, what is it, Exploring Exposure.
Yeah, so I was following them, and I was just getting into photography in 2010, 2011, and I picked up a D7000, Nikon D7000, and started trying shots of the Milky Way with a kit lens, and I was like hooked from day one, you know?
I'm with you.
Yeah, that's cool, man. That sounds like we had kind of a similar trajectory
Absolutely.
then. Nice. Cool. So tell me a little bit about how you got started into landscape. It sounds like you got into some workshops, but was there anything before that that got you interested in it, or kind of how did you get into it?
Yeah, so it's funny. I started Instagram. My wife had an Instagram. I had no idea what the hell Instagram was. So I joined on, but I started initially taking photos of my two cats. It's hilarious. So I think someone thought I was joking. I'm like, no, man, I was literally just taking photos of my cats and posting those. And that's what was starting me on the whole Instagram thing. And so that got fairly, I think I had like 4,000 followers at its prime or whatever. And so then I started doing the landscape stuff by being on Instagram. You saw all these amazing shots, and I was like, I want to do that. So
Right.
I had never even seen the Milky Way or been out in stars like that. And said, I started seeing all these shots, and I'm like, oh my God, like if I could do that, how hard is that? And so I just started researching, and I'm kind of the, I just go full bore when I see something like that. And so
Yeah.
it was that's what started me off, was literally taking pictures of my cats and then going, like, I want to try this. This looks awesome.
That's hilarious. So you went from taking photos of your cats to taking like some of the best Milky Way shots I've seen. That's amazing. That's awesome. Yeah, I saw gosh, it must have been Friday. I was on Instagram, and I was my buddy Jake Egbert. Do you know him?
Yeah, I know JK. He's my
He like tagged me, and then like I saw the people that were commenting in the photo, and then I saw that you had liked the photo too. So it sounds like it's so funny, like everyone kind of just knows each other.
Jake is so I met a starting photographer, that's Mahesh. And so Mahesh actually started a little just Pacific Northwest crew on Instagram. And so it was when, no one was seeing anyone's shots. So when they changed that algorithm, so we started that group so we could post there and say, hey, I posted a shot. Can you guys go like and, comment on it? And so Jake was part of that group. So I've only met Jake once. So it's
Okay.
kind of funny, but I met him up at Rainier and all that. But I've never, other than that, I've never like hung out with him personally. So it's always so funny, but it's you kind of already know someone just from all the conversations you've had through IG.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you've figured out some tricks to the social media that I'm kind of a weird purist when it comes to certain things, like kind of goes against my own success, but you know, like I hear about people, you know, sounds like you guys said something similar, but I don't know if you're familiar with I don't know if you're on 500px at all, but
I don't post very often there, just because I got on way, way late. And
sure.
Like,
there was
any likes for a picture.
similar to what you did, there's a group of photographers on there. They have a kind of a sort of secret group called Area 51.
Oh, okay.
It's like there's a lot of Pacific Northwest photographers in that, like, you know, like Ted Gore and Aaron Babnick and gosh, I'm trying to think who else. Michael Bellino's in there.
A lot of good guys.
And they kind of have a similar thing where, like, they post photos and then they tell each other, okay, posted my photo. And they've actually figured out how to game the algorithm so where, like, they know they can basically make it to where their photos are on the front page every time.
Yeah, I got nothing for 500px. I will tell you this, don't advertise on Instagram. It does seem to cut your feed. I advertised for a workshop, and ever since then, I've dropped dramatically in the amount of engagement and likes per post. I don't know what's going on with that, but don't advertise.
Okay, yeah, so it's so funny. Like, I think, you know, it's funny. I look at, because I think I've only got, I don't know, like 2,400 Instagram followers.
Yeah.
But I haven't really, like, you know, I don't try super hard. You know, I don't like, I don't like run a hub or like anything like that. But it's interesting when you see, like, some people, they just have a strategy and it works.
Yeah, my strategy is don't advertise.
Nice. Hey, man, whatever works. Exactly. For a while there, I'd figured out a way to make it to where pretty much every single photo I post of Flickr would be explored.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I don't even use Flickr. I just finally posted one shot to, 1X.
Oh, uh-huh.
And that one got published. I just got the little thing saying, your photo's been published or curated.
You're like, woohoo!
I know. I was like, okay, cool. What does that mean? I don't know. There's way too many things you got to pay attention to and all that. I'm like,
I know. It's,
I don't have all this crap.
It can be exhausting. I mean, it's like a full-time job if you try to do it right.
Oh, yeah. I don't have time for that.
Yeah, so it sounds like, you know, one of the topics that that I wanted to talk to you about, because it sounds like we kind of have similar situations. Like, it sounds like you have a wife and kids.
Yep.
I have a wife and I have a son. It sounds like we both have full-time jobs.
Yep.
And when we can, we try to get out there.
Yeah.
And take as best photos as we possibly can. So I just kind of wanted to kind of explore that topic with you. How do you make that work?
I won't lie. I had that conversation with my wife too. It's the hard part about finding balance, because unfortunately, when you do, you know, I'm like, why the hell did I pick something that takes me away in the middle of the night, and then I'm dog tired in the next day? So yeah, that one is the toughest thing about trying to find that balance of, like this year, I was purposeful, and like last year, I went out all the time, but I didn't have, it was like, oh, I just want to go shoot Milky Way with nothing clear cut as to, you know, is this actually going to make a really good photo? This year,
right.
I'm trying to step back and go, okay, where can I go that I know I'm going to get a really good, that it's going to be a really good shot instead of just something of the night sky, which is cool, but once you've seen the Milky Way, you kind of want to get it over something or have it complement something versus, hey, I just took a photo of the Milky Way, and then that's it. And so that's where I'm trying to step back and go, okay, if I go out for Milky Way specifically, I want it to be, have a lot more value to me personally versus I just took a shot of the Milky Way. I don't want to lose sleep for just another Milky Way shot. I want it to be something pretty spectacular if I can.
No, I
But yeah,
totally get it. Like,
that balance is the hard part, but it's also my stress relief. I need to get out. I mean, I deal with people all week. I mean, my wife and I run our own office. We're both chiropractors, and so doing that and dealing with staff and patients, and I need to get out and de-stress. So that's nice. And now my oldest son is going to be 12 here, and this last was it like 2 weeks ago, we went to the coast, and he actually is expressing an interest in taking pictures, which is huge because
That's really cool.
then we can and I it's way easier for me to include him on that adventure, and makes it more family oriented, which is very
Right, and I don't know about you, but like whenever I just go do like taking photos for myself, it kind of feels a little selfish.
It totally does, yeah. Especially when you know that you're going to be far away, and you're going to be dog ass tired, and so you're not going to really want to do anything. So that's tough. It's really tough.
Well, and then you come home and you have to spend hours in front of the computer editing.
Yeah, that's just time away. That's exactly what you said. It doesn't even include the editing and all that. So yeah, that's this year, which I'm consciously trying to. When and if I go out this year, I had to worry because there's been such shitty weather. Like, there's not been any much of an opportunity to even get out.
That's one of the reasons I became really disillusioned and frustrated with photography when I lived in Oregon, just because like every time that my schedule was cleared out to where I could actually go out and take photos, the weather was like, nope.
Oh, it's
If
bad.
you like I remember I think I went to what's that Tom, Dick, and Harry Mountain across from Mount Hood. I think I went there like three different times, and the weather like was like 100% fog. Like I was like, oh, I'm gonna go shoot the meteor shower there, and then I get there and it's like, oh, well, I'm sure it'll clear out, and I get to like the top of the mountain, it's nothing but fog, and you like, oh, I'm glad I hauled my camera gear all the way out here.
Yeah, no kidding.
I've had that experience so many times. It can be really like frustrating.
Oh, absolutely. And this year's been, I mean, I haven't even had a chance to be pissed off or there's been no weather. There's been nothing to shoot. I mean, it has just been terrible.
It's yeah, it can be crazy. I don't know about you, but like one of the things that I started to do to maximize, I guess, maximize your success a little is I started using like a couple apps and some websites to kind of try to, I don't know, like look, pre-plan and then kind of like make a last minute decision on whether or not I would actually go or not.
Yeah, I look at the weather. I use the National Weather Service, and I try. I mean, the one I tried, I even woke up at 2 a.m. said it was clear. I got out there. This is the only one time I've been out, and I got one shot off. And it was clear on the horizon, and then I turn around. I'm like, "Well, shit! All these clouds just rolled in." So clear as a bell, and there's nothing you can do. Like you rely on the weather guy, and you get out there, and you're like, "Not happening." I don't know what they were smoking. I'm like, "There's just no." 'Cause I don't like going out and having a wasted night. That's not fun.
No.
If it's a wasted sunset, no big deal, but. I don't sleep. If I know I have to get up, I don't sleep, and so I'm up all night and driving and then freezing my tail off, and there's nothing. So that frustrates the living daylights out of me.
Oh, totally. I remember this one time I drove, I can't remember. I think it was just like a new moon, so it was like super dark. And I drove out to, I was going to go to Hug Point State Park. And so I drove out there in the middle of the night, and the weather was supposed to be super clear, and then I got like, I don't know, like three quarters of the way there, and it was like thick fog, and I was like, oh, fuck. Like I just drove like an hour and a half for nothing or whatever, and then I got out there and the fog was still there, and I'm like, well, but I've actually got some cool shots out of it. But I was one of those things you're like, oh, do I turn around? Like,
I've
it's the worst.
almost turned around a couple times, and I'm glad we didn't, because it ended up being clear. So that's, most of the time I've never, I'll say 90% of the time when I've gone out, I've never been disappointed. So this last one was disappointing. I mean, even the morning was supposed to be clear, and I drove to Hood to shoot a sunrise, and I'm driving up Highway 35, and you see the mountain, you're like, oh, great, it's going to be beautiful. There was not a cloud there. I get to my location, walk out, and I'm like, where did that mountain go? And I mean, 6 miles away, it was clear. So less than 5 minutes, it was completely gone. So it was just like, what the heck? How did I? That's what was frustrating. I'm like, how did they miss this weather report so bad? I mean,
Yeah.
they weren't even close.
That's so funny. So, one of the topics that I love to talk about with people, plus I think it's pretty controversial, is like composites.
Oh, yeah.
So I personally am a fan of using composites, but only if you like tell people that it's a composite.
Absolutely.
Because otherwise, people are like, oh, that's like, I think it's there's honesty is good and having some integrity. But I'm also like, I think the reason why composites exist is because of people like you and me that have only a couple, 3, 4 hours a month to shoot, and then like you get out there and like the conditions are crap.
Yeah. Like,
You're like, well, I can make this photo better.
yeah, I mean, well, one of my last shots, I don't know what you call a composite. It was more of a, I just kept firing, and so I was able to blend back Mount Hood. That was that morning. So the first shot I have, it was completely socked in with clouds, and then by, an hour later, it was clear. So I just used one of my shots from later in the morning and just blended that back in.
Right,
It was,
totally.
yeah, just a blend, but it's not, nothing, everything was there in the scene. But have I done a composite? Absolutely. And but tell people, like, this composite,
Right.
if they didn't know it was composite, it was pretty obvious. I was standing on clouds, so
It's funny too because I don't know about you, but like composites usually end up, because it takes a lot of work to do a really good composite.
it does.
And typically, I think just because of how much you put into it, a lot of times, and because of, I think, there's definitely some artistry to it. I think a lot of times they end up being some of your best photos.
Yeah, I was just saying, I mean, I took a processing workshop through Mark Adamus, and just listening to him, it changed my mind. It's, he'll take things from that are in the scene naturally, but he'll make them enhance them. And so, I mean, he took like a string that was, over to the left, but blended it in with his shot, and it's actually harder.
Oh, for sure.
You look at that, like, you're out in the field and you're having to take, you have to have a final image in your head of going, what do I want this scene to look like and what do I want to convey? So it's way more difficult when you actually start thinking that way of going, well, do I want this piece and how can I put that in there? Than just firing off your camera and going, I got it, and then I don't need to do anything. So people who say composites are lazy, I'm like, no, it's actually way more difficult to try to make a good composite of what.
Right, I mean, it's easy to do a shitty composite.
Exactly. Yeah, a ton of those on IG.
Well, I've done plenty of shitty ones myself. But it's funny. So when I lived in Portland, I became really good friends with a group of guys out there that kind of started out shooting kind of in that heyday when Mark Adamus just started getting popular.
Oh, yeah.
So like, and they just become my drinking buddies. So it was Jeremy Cram, and Michael Bellino, and Brian Edelberg, and like a lot of those guys have like hung out with Adamus
Yeah.
before, and they said he's kind of like a savant. Like
Oh, he
the
is.
way he approaches processing is like totally just out of left field.
Oh, it's amazing. It's way different. I mean, it's like watching him and you see it and you're like, how the hell do you do that? But this is more of an artistic approach, of like, you have to think like a painter is essentially what it is. And so, once you can figure that out, then Photoshop, I mean, he uses Photoshop for all of everything. And he makes amazing, incredible images, which it just blows my mind.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, I mean the guy's unreal.
Yeah, I think, gosh, I'm pretty sure that's pretty much how he makes all his money now, is just teaching.
Oh yeah, I mean he does tours all over the place. I mean he's gone
Yeah.
at least I think like two, three, 200 days or something like that.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about the business side for you. Are you, this is something as a kind of part-timer myself. Like, do you try to make money, or do you just kind of like, if money comes and helps me pay for a lens, then it's cool. Like, kind of, how does that work for you?
Yeah, so this year is new. So I have a buddy, Steve Schwint, who's just
Oh yeah, I've seen you tag him on your Instagram posts. Yeah.
phenomenal, phenomenal photographer. He's in Portland too, and so he and I met last year and started talking, and then went out and shot a couple things. And I really respect him as a person, and then as a photographer as well. And so he and I are going to do two workshops this year. So that will be. I'll find out how we like that workshop thing, but that's how we're doing money because I don't sell a lot of prints or anything like
Sure.
that. I don't think a lot of I'd be hard pressed to find a lot of people who do sell a lot of prints. I think
No, yeah, I mean, not a ton.
I think it's a fairly dead market, but I could be very wrong. That.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think, well, let's see.
You may just have
I
something
mean,
everybody wants to buy.
yeah, I mean, I guess like I so let me think for a second. In 2012, I decided to like go just gangbusters, and I bought a D800 and like the Nikon Trinity. So I had the 14 to 24, 24-70, 7200, and like a bunch of other shit. And like basically like paid all that off selling prints.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I mean it's doable, but you have to grind for sure.
Yeah, and I already have to grind for my other business, so
Right, totally.
I'm like, this one, especially for me, it's more fun right now. But yeah, if I could make money doing it, that's awesome. Like that keeps me in the game a lot longer. I mean, I'm still gonna do photography with, even if I make no money, but.
Yeah.
It was nice to, go, oh, okay, thank God I paid for my trip this with this. So yeah, but
Right.
workshops are what we're doing this.
Yeah. What I found when I was kind of in that zone was like basically for lack of a better way of putting it, I wasn't shooting for myself anymore.
Yeah.
Like I was trying to take like I found myself I was comp stomping way more, you know,
Oh
like
yeah.
looking at different people's photos and going to that spot and trying to get the similar kind of composition and like that just feels dirty to
Yeah.
me now. So like, and unfortunately that's kind of like when I was in Oregon too. So like ever since I kind of, I mean, I'm, don't get me wrong. I like making money, but, like I don't do it for money anymore. Like I just shoot for myself. And if people like what I'm shooting for myself, that's cool. And if they don't, that's cool too.
Yeah,
And I
exactly.
don't know. I found it's, there's less disappointment when the shoot doesn't come together quite the way you envisioned, or the light doesn't quite happen the way you envisioned. And it's just much more enjoyable as a, I guess, you know, as a practice.
Oh,
For me, anyway.
yeah, no, I would totally agree with that as well. Like, I feel like if you just only are in it for the money, you'll get burned out really, really quickly.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So you live in Vancouver, right? So do you like beer?
So I did. My father blessed me with this lovely condition called gout.
No.
Yeah, I don't drink because
Right.
while I may like beer, I really dislike having gout because that is ungodly painful. So
Yeah, I've heard that's no bueno, man.
yeah, no bueno at all. So yeah, no, I don't touch anything.
Well, the reason I ask is there's a I guess two 3 year old bar in Vancouver now called the Thirsty Sasquatch.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And that is the guy that started that and owns it. His name is Jeremy Cram. And he's I met him because of our interest in photography. He was kind of big on 500px there for a while. Like, he has some really great shots. You should definitely check him out. Like, he doesn't like shoot much anymore, but his stuff is really good.
I'll have to check him
Like,
out, yeah.
yeah.
Don't think I've heard of him, so yeah, that'd be
And he has a fucking awesome bar.
even better.
Like, I think he's got like 30 or 40 beers on tap.
Holy mackerel, yeah, that'd be awesome. I know I live in the best place in the freaking country for microbrews, and
Yeah, dude. Oh, that was a bummer.
yeah.
But honestly, like, I'm actually kind of, that's, I love beer too, but not living in Portland anymore is actually been really good for my liver.
Thank you.
When I lived there, I lived at 33rd and Belmont. And so, like, there's like breweries and like super awesome tap rooms like everywhere. And like, that's all I did was drink beer.
Ruby,
So
you.
that's what you do. You know, the weather's bad. Oh well, I'll go drink beer.
Go down to here, but yeah, no, I can't drink anything, unfortunately.
That's funny.
It sucks.
Yeah, so tell me a little about the chiropractic business.
So that's how I met my wife. I've been a chiropractor for 12 years now. So we moved out here with the specific intent of opening our own office. So we've been had our own office now for 10 years, and thankfully it's allowed me to, do photography on the side, which is nice. So
No doubt.
yeah, so it works out perfect because I only work, Monday through Thursday, and then I have my weekends, which works out perfect with wife and kids. They're getting older so that we can actually have family time, which is really nice.
Yeah, so how many kids you got?
Two boys, 11, soon to be 12, and then a 9-year-old.
Okay, cool. I've just got 1 9-year-old boy.
And so
So
we take them
right
up.
there with you.
Yeah, we took them on a hike yesterday. I went to try to go to Panther Creek Falls, but
Oh yeah.
it was, oh my, I've never seen it so bad. I couldn't even get a mile up the road. First of all, there was a shit ton of snow, which I was actually shocked at, and then it looked like a disaster zone. I mean, there were trees down everywhere.
Wow.
We had to drive over a tree, and then we got a little bit farther down, and then I was like, well, shit, we're not getting through that. So I couldn't turn around. I mean, I'm like, that's not going to be open for a while. So it was crazy. I've driven up there multiple times, and you see trees, but they're already cut up, and
Yeah.
that was, I mean, there was, I don't know how anyone's, because I know there's a bunch of trailers and everything that people live back there. I don't know how the hell they're getting back there right now. So
Yeah.
it didn't happen, so we went and hiked up Cape Horn Trail, but
Okay, yeah.
got nothing, but it was all right. It was
Yeah,
good.
Panther's one of the only places that I took my son with me too when I
Yeah,
lived there.
I loved it. I was like, yeah, we go to this one. It's super easy. I told him, I'm like, I'll take you down to the bottom, but you got to follow me, and we got to use the rope and all that. But yeah, I'm like, well, we'll do that next time.
Yeah, when I got there, I wanted to go down, and I think my son was like 7 or 8 at the time. No, must have been like 7, yeah. And he did not want to go all the way down. I was like, that's cool, man. No problem.
Which way do you go though? So like, I had a buddy. We went there at night, and he took me away. I've never been, and we're scaling up rock walls, and I'm looking at him like, "Are you freaking crazy right now? I've never gone that way." I'm like, "I got short little legs, man. I'm gonna fall off this damn thing." So I go down, like you walk down the road, and there's like this little out or like a little hump in the wall or whatever it is, the grass, and you just drop down that way. But we went down from the top through these rock walls. I'm like, "I am never doing that again."
Yeah, when I was there, I was like, I mean, I'm pretty sure I could do this, but there's no way I could safely get him down.
Oh God, no! It's that's and I think I love Instagram, but I feel like there is one. I've stopped tagging most of my shots unless it's like well known. I'll just put Mount Hood or something like that, because I feel there's a huge prevalence of people trying these places where they just have no business being. Like,
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I would tell if I'm like, if you are not experienced, I'm like, you're gonna fall on your ass. That is just dangerous, and so I'm trying not to be a part of the problem, although I'm sure people see it and they'll find a way to get there. But yeah, that is, you know, that's an area that you stay up top. Don't go down below because it's dangerous. I mean, some lady died, I think, last year from there because she fell from climbing on that rock wall.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Yeah, we have a lot of that here in Colorado, just especially in Rocky Mountain National Park because it's a national park. But there's a 14er there, Long's Peak. And there's a lot of people that climb longs in the summer that, like, you see them out there in, like, jeans and tennis shoes with no water bottle and no rain gear. And they're like, you're just like, you're going to die.
Yeah.
Like,
why are you out here right now?
Yeah. So, like, one thing about me is I'm, like, really big into mountain climbing. So, like, I've climbed almost all the highest 100 mountains in Colorado, and like that's been a thing that I've wanted to do since I was a kid, but because my dad got me into it. But when I did Long's Peak back in, I want to say it was 2009, I saw so many people that like just had no business whatsoever being up there at all.
Oh yeah.
And like they're kicking rocks down on people and like they're scared out of their mind. And so like, and then like I guess the day before I was there, like some young kid from New Hampshire, I think, died on a fall there.
Oh,
and like, and his like parts of his skull are still like on the trail.
What?
Like when you're hiking it. Yeah. Like, At least the day I was there, because it was the day after it happened.
Yeah.
But like that just like shook me. Just like the combination of that event plus seeing all those people like had no business being there.
Yeah.
So I actually started keeping track of all the mountaineering deaths in Colorado. And then at the end of every year, I wrote an article about all the people that died, and like I would talk about like the mountain they were on, like what happened, what I thought possibly could have happened based on what we knew.
Yeah.
And, it's on my mountaineering website, 100summits.com. But, like people like really liked that I was doing that. But then there are some people that are like really hated that I was doing that for some reason, just because I'm talking about people that died. I just felt like that wasn't disrespect. They thought that was disrespectful, but I thought it was like, you know, like, I wanted, for me, my motivation was to educate people, you know, like,
absolutely.
If you're going to go do this stuff, you need to know what you're getting into.
I think a lot of people just see their picture on Instagram and, like you said, they want to just comp stomp, or it's this, you know, I got to be IG famous, and they just go to a spot but have no idea, like, show up in shirt, in a t-shirt and, you know, flip-flops, and there's just no way. What are you doing out here? There's no way, no, you have no business being here, so.
Yeah, it's crazy, and like, oh, what was it? Maybe last year there was those people that were like, you see, I think because of Instagram, you start seeing there's a lot more people out there. Young, I think it's mostly young people, like destroying, like literally destroying places.
Oh yeah, they did it at Cape Coronado. You had those three people because one of their friends was apparently standing on the duckbill and fell and broke his leg, and so they, you know, knocked it down. They have these guys on camera pushing this, you know, amazing thing over for no reason. I mean,
right.
I mean, they're probably lucky that video is so grainy, because, and the way people are out here, I'm like, they might
find, people be vigilantes.
They might find it, you know, not a happy ending to whatever their their life situation is. So,
yeah. Oh, was it last year? Like, I think it was the year before, like those guys destroyed that rock in Goblin Valley.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that one too. Yeah, I mean, it's just, that's what's frustrating. I mean, I go out and I'm like, I practice, you know, leave no trace, and I really respect and revere the landscape. And so when you got these, you know, jackasses who just, they don't care. It's all about, let me get this, you know, let me get my selfie, let me, you know, not care about where I'm at or have any respect for it and just trash the place. Those are the people I just can't stand. So
yeah, I mean, I'm the same way. Like, it's funny. I feel like probably, I don't know, 80 to 90% of landscape photographers kind of have a special relationship with nature,
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, 'cause that's what we're there to shoot, and like we respect it, and we want to preserve it. And you know, it's funny, like a lot of the photographers I follow, you see them getting really vocal on Facebook about different like bills in Congress and stuff like that. Like
Gosh,
people,
yeah.
which is great to me. Like that, I think that's awesome. Like that's how I am too. But then it seems like there's like 10 or 20% of people that like all they care about is getting that shot and being famous or
Yeah.
becoming well known. And that just drives me crazy. And so like personally, I avoid for the most part like the really like famous kind of iconic spots just because I know I'm gonna run into one of those people and just lose my temper.
At least we're not at night. So yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny. Speaking of that being famous and, you know, all these popular spots with Lost Lake, I got yelled at by one guy who I used to respect quite a bit. And then I wake up in the morning, I've got a message on my phone, like, oh, from Instagram, but I can't find it. And then I'm blocked by this person. He was pissed because of my Lost Lake shot. I used the rocks that were at Lost Lake. Have you been to Rock? You've been to Lost Lake, right?
Yeah, I've been to Lost Lake just once, and I actually had a similar experience that I'll tell when you're done.
Yeah. So, like, there's literally very few compositions there. I mean, it's not, it's, you can shoot the rocks that are on the little beach, and there's like three of them, or you shoot at the coastline with, you know, where the mountain is. So I shot these rocks, totally different. This guy did a pano, but puts me just like, you know, is yelling at me, says I comp stomped him, I didn't give him credit, and he tries not to do that and blocks me, and we haven't talked since. And so I responded like, dude, what the hell did I do to you? Because he deleted his comment. And that one drove me nuts, because I'm like, listen, if you have the balls to say it first and then you delete it and then you just block me, I'm like, oh, this, you got more issues than just me. You're not pissed at me, you're just mad that whatever it may be. But I'm like, that's just absolutely ridiculous. I feel like there's a lot of ego in some of these photographers. I'm like,
A
well,
lot, a
yeah.
lot.
Oh my God. Like, I don't, if you saw something that was, and I inspired you and you shot the same thing as me, awesome.
Right.
I don't care. Like, especially when it's, unless it's like the same thing, unless you go to a specific spot that you know, like if you had multitudes of compositions and you shot the same one, then I'd be like, all right, you know, did you not see anything else? But when there's only one and you can't, there's not much else you can do, that's like, okay.
Right, it's Metlocco Falls is kind of like that before the
No kidding.
like there's really only one spot to shoot it, except unless you like climb down from the
Unless you
top.
rappel down into it, yeah, there's nothing you can do.
Like there's everyone's gonna have the same shot with maybe a different light.
Exactly. I'm like, I've not seen too many different shots from Lost Lake, and so that's what I was trying to
Yeah.
convey. But it was just fun. I just laughed, and yeah, it pissed me off at first, and then I was like, oh, your issue's not with me. You just have way, way more issues than me. And so, but
Oh, totally.
it was just, that was my first experience with that ego. And then, you know, like, wow, just super pissed off at me that I apparently comp stomped him.
That's funny. People like have these like visceral like anger reactions at these locations that are kind of
Locations, but like, oh, if you use Photoshop, that means you're not a real photographer. Like, some of that stuff I'm like, okay, like if you think only using Lightroom is the way to go, but I mean, that's ex you can do that, and that's how you do. But don't put your belief system and that now I have to follow it, and if I don't, I'm somehow less or not as good a photographer or not a true photographer. That stuff just drives me nuts. Like,
Yeah.
I don't care. Like, we talked about composites. If you want to do a composite, by all means, go ahead. I don't care what you.
Knock yourself out.
None of that stuff bothers me. I'm like, do what makes you feel happy. Don't try to fit in some norm. And if I say, you know what, that's not my thing, it doesn't mean you're wrong and I'm right. It just means, hey, that's not my thing. Cool, do whatever you want. But man, some of these guys are just out of their mind, crazy.
Oh yeah, I kind of had a realization about that a couple of years ago, and I wrote an article about it. Like, because one of the most freeing things I think you can do as a photographer is to stop comparing yourself to other people.
Absolutely.
Like, as soon as I stopped caring about like whether or not I was well known or whether or not my photo was good or whether or not whatever, like, you're always gonna find someone that's better than you, that has a better shot than you, that whatever. And so like to like try to be the best is so dumb. And then because then you start getting into these pissing matches and these ego like filled rage comment fights on social media, and it's just ridiculous.
Oh, it's so crazy.
So I've only been to Lost Lake once, and
Me too.
I went there with just kind of someone I knew from Facebook. Her name is Gigi. She's in Portland, and then I was meeting Terrence Lee up there. And then there was apparently, without me knowing, there was a bunch of other photographers up there that night that were also up there to shoot the. I think there was a meteor shower that night.
Oh yeah, I was saying, and there's no place to, I mean, thankfully I went on a Thursday night, so it was me and my buddy that went, and then there was two other guys, but there were so many downed trees they didn't know how to get over to where we were, so it was just him and I.
Well, and like you said, like there's really only one spot.
Yeah, it's North Viewpoint, and it's about 20 feet wide, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a lot of room. So I
No.
was down there with these other photographers that, like, I think we had known of each other, but like I'd never met them.
Okay,
So
yeah.
we were all just down there having a good time. And I was like, I think out of any of the people there, Terrence hadn't gotten there yet, but out of anyone there, like, I had shot the most stuff at night. So I was kind of like telling them something, sharing some of my settings and some of that stuff. And people had their headlamps on and off throughout the night. And then there's this guy that was like kind of by himself. And you know how like it's kind of almost like a little amphitheater right there, like maybe like 20 feet up from the shore, there's like another spot where you have a pretty good view of the lake.
You can get up above. Yeah, that's where my buddy was shooting first.
So this guy was up there, and we've all got our like headlamps off and on, and like he was just like super passive aggressive, like, turn your fucking lights off, like, you're so rude, fuck yourselves. Like, he was just so mad. And like we were like, dude, chill out. Like,
No
if
kidding.
you want us to turn our lights off for you to get a shot, like, just tell us. Like,
Yeah.
and then it was just became this like yelling match between him and the people that were down there with me. Like it was
God.
just sad. Like,
I know, and people get so fr- I mean, I had that when I went to Trillium Lake with last was it last summer? When we had the meteor shower,
yeah.
I mean, it was me and like half of Portland out there.
Right.
But I mean, these guys, you have people walking with families, they're walking with lanterns, and we're trying to shoot meteors. And like, no one should be shooting a foreground right now, and that it matters. But they've got lanterns, so it's kind of messy. If you were shooting a foreground, it was messing with it. But I mean, there's these guys, turn your fucking lights off, and I'm just like, oh my God, like they've got a small child with them. Like, calm down. Like, you're not missing the shot, trust me.
Right.
I'm like, there's cars driving through, people turning on headlamps and
Oh yeah, there's like
the light.
people have their cars with headlamps on shining across the lake there.
If you wanted to get a meteor shot, don't go to Trillium Lake, jackass. Like,
Right.
simple. Go someplace where you don't have to worry about that. But it was just, I was just laughing. But it was laughing but sad at the same time. I'm like, wow, people take this stuff way too seriously. I mean, I don't know how they were getting a shot anyways because everyone's lens was fogging up. So, it
Right.
wasn't bringing anything out there.
I just yeah I cannot deal with like big crowds. Like, it just frustrates me bad.
I don't like, I was like, oh my God, this is why I don't shoot.
Yeah.
So I'm like, why the hell would I picture him? I thought about TDH, but I just didn't feel like making that hike and that
Right.
run. And so I was like, okay, maybe next time we'll try that.
Yeah, so last summer, I did a fucking epic for the Perseids. Like, I hiked like this super steep trail, like 4,000 feet up to this super remote valley up below these two like really high 13ers near Durango, Colorado, here where I live.
That'd be nice.
And then like at 10:30 at night, I hiked up to the saddle between these two mountains and photographed the meteor shower from like, I don't know, it was like midnight to like 3 in the morning. And it was like just me and my camera and like awesome.
That'd be perfect.
Yeah. And it's, so it's funny because it's like, you know, only like a very small handful of people that have hiked to that spot like would even recognize where I was at.
Oh yeah.
So it like makes the photo like less, I guess you could say, less sellable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's not like, I feel like that's what sells landscape photos, is like it's somewhere where people have been and like it connects them to that experience.
Yeah. And it's funny, somebody was telling me about selling too. They're like, you know, when we as photographers, we want that, you know, amazing looking sky and all of these conditions coming together, like, but most people aren't there for that time. They want the blue sky.
Yeah, isn't that funny?
Some of the most, you know, the popular photos are ones with, you got the, you know, like, say, like, it's Mount Hood, but you got the blue sky. That's how they remember it. They don't remember because they didn't see the sunrise or the sunset or, you know, those amazing clouds. They saw the blue sky or something. You know,
right.
And they're like, oh, that's so pretty. I want that. And so, you know, as photographers, we'd be like, well, that's just, I can take that with my eyes closed. Like there's no challenge to that. So I think it's funny. That's where I feel like I totally missed the boat, because I could care less about a blue sky.
Right. Well, you're right though. I mean, that's what they connect to, is the memory mm-hmm. of the location or whatever, or an experience that they had at that location. And so it's so funny. What the photos that we really seek aren't the photos that people buy.
No.
Not necessarily, I guess. Anyway. It's funny that way.
You know, I'm like, I can take a blue sky any day of the week. No. If you want Portland, I'll take a picture of a cloudy day right now.
Yeah, right. So what kind of locations do you have coming up that you're excited to shoot?
I'm hoping that the weather will hold up this weekend and I can get to Crater Lake and try to get a Milky Way pano.
Yeah.
That's been on my list. Shooting over the Tatoosh Range from Paradise is on my list.
Yep.
We're going to take a road trip this summer. So we're going to get up to the Olympic Peninsula. I've never been there.
Yeah, me neither.
Drive all the way down to San Francisco. So with my kids and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Shoot as many things there. So. Hey, the nice part where we, you know, where I live is, and you know, you lived here, there's just so many places to go. Like, you just can't run out of anything. So, and I've never shot wildflowers, so I'm really excited that, you know, maybe one good thing about all this rain is that the wildflowers will be pretty damn amazing this year. So.
Yeah, dude, you should definitely, guys, probably coming up here 2 or 3 weeks now.
They got the Tulip Festival. I don't know if I care about tulips. I want to go to the...
You should go to Dalles Mountain Ranch, dude.
So that's where I went to go shoot Milky Way at. I was trying to get the Milky Way arch over that cool ass tree out there, and it was cloudy as hell, so I didn't.
Oh yeah, yeah. I shot that tree a couple of years ago. I went out there with Michael Bellino.
Yeah.
Man, super. Like, you know, I think Adamus probably has like one of the best shots of that. Because it was like on the cover of Outdoor Photographer.
I mean, Ryan Dyer's got some.
Oh, Ryan Dyer! I mean, that guy's stuff is sick. And then, did you ever follow Miles Morgan?
Yeah, so I just started following Miles too. He's fantastic. He and Ryan, those two cracked me up. I don't know if you follow their commentary on IG on each other's posts.
No, I'm sure it's hilarious.
It's absolutely the funniest thing I've ever. They were killing me the other day, so.
But yeah,
it's the best.
But yeah, that tree, like, if you get the right light in the morning with the flowers, like, because the year that I went, like, the flowers are kind of shitty. But I mean, if you can get there with the right light, the right flowers, like, oh, that is, you can't beat it. Like, yeah. I've got some pretty cool shots from there, but I mean, that's another spot where, like, if you don't have the right conditions, it sucks.
Well, yeah, I mean, so I was there and it's frozen. I was actually kind of shocked that there was going to be so many wildfires. I mean, it's just a wasteland. I mean, without, I'm like, it's just a shitty little grassy knoll right now. So,
right.
I'm like, okay, this is going to be filled with flowers here in a month, but it was just frozen when I went there.
Oh, you'll love that, man. It's a really great spot. Really good spot. Yeah. And then I never shot, Rowena Crest.
So I went there one time. I mean, it's all right, but it's not one of my, I don't know, it doesn't do it for me compositional-wise or whatever. It's about 2 hours away. It's just not one. I have a place, there's Silver Star Mountain. And did you ever go to that one? It's in Washington side. Apparently it's really good for wildflowers, too. So all the snow and everything goes away. I'm going to be checking that place out, too. So I'm hoping, they said it's like some of the best views, because you've got 360-degree views when you get up to the top. So you can see Hood, Jefferson, you know, St. Helens, Rainier, all that fun stuff. So I'm stoked about that one. It's not very far away either.
Right. That's cool, man. Yeah. Yeah. I would say, like, shooting Lost Lake and shooting Dalles Mountain Ranch. And then my other favorite spot that I shot when I lived there was Pacific City.
Oh, yeah, I love Pacific. I've been there like, what, twice already this year? Yeah, twice. Yeah. I love that area.
Yeah, I shot that haystack with Jake, actually, back in 2015.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And I got this pretty sweet shot, basically like the Milky Way was rising straight over the top of the haystack.
Yeah, did you do like the full one? So you like did it all the way back, so it was like behind you.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember that shot. That was badass.
Yeah, that's a sweet spot for the Milky Way that time of year. It's really cool.
And I only shot Milky Way on the coast a couple times, so I'm excited. I went to Bannon, got it. It was a clear night. That was perfect.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, there's a lot of light pollution there. So
is it really?
So because where it was, yeah. So if you're if you shoot out towards the ocean, no big deal whatsoever. You're totally fine. But there, all of the houses and everything. So thankfully, I use a Hoya intensifier filter. If you ever deal with light pollution, man, that thing just wipes it out. It's fantastic.
That's cool. Yeah, I've heard that's pretty sweet.
It will make your shots pretty blue. So set your white balance to sunlight or daylight. That'll help.
But, yeah. Nice. Yeah. No, one of my really good friends lives in Bandon. I just haven't had a chance to visit him yet.
It's super cool. I got super lucky. Now I'm starting to, before I used to just only do night stuff and nothing during the day. Now I do a lot more stuff during the day. And so now I'm like, okay, I want clouds.
Right. It's so funny. Cause it's like, I want no clouds until morning.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, okay, so we can get some clouds, especially if it's, you know, whatchamacallit, if the Milky Way is rising at like 2 to 4, okay, no clouds during this time. Then bring some clouds in so it makes sunrise, you know, beautiful.
Exactly.
That's what I'm going to try to do this year. I never stayed out before to get, you know, sunrise pictures or anything like that. That's what I'm going to attempt to do more of this year is try to actually stay out, get those, you know, beautiful sunrise shots, and then call it good.
Yeah. Well, cool, man. So, I think you had mentioned that you've got a couple of workshops coming up.
Yeah, so my buddy Steve and I were doing one at Mount St. Helens is the first one. It's in June 23rd, so we're going to try to do wildflowers there.
Nice.
We just had to pick a date, but that's one of the shots that I want to get is, you know, wildflowers there and then blend in the Milky Way with that from a shot later in the night, because I think that is awesome. And then a couple at Mount Rainier. So
awesome, yeah. So I know you've already shot, I think I've seen a lot of your shots. You've done St. Helens already, but
yeah.
My buddy Michael Bellino, he's got a really cool Milky Way shot with the, what is that, those Indian paintbrush?
Oh, yeah.
Like the Indian paintbrush in the foreground and then the Milky Way above St. Helens. Like, it looks super dope. And he did that same strategy. He had shot the wildflowers, like, in the evening and then just kept it there and then shot the Milky Way later. And then just blended them in post.
Yep.
Yeah, I like to do that too. I've got some shots like that. But God, you have to have patience. You're like,
Yeah,
God, oh, I
but
can't move my camera.
trees. That's why I have two cameras.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, trees when trying to blend. The hardest blend I ever had to do was from Samuel H. Boardman. So, oh my God, trees, trying to blend around trees, and if they move, I mean, any slight movement, it is just such a bitch. So it's nice if you can, set up one of your cameras, and I was running a time lapse on that one, so my camera was moving a little bit, so that was a very difficult blend.
Oh, no doubt.
Like that one sucked. I don't want anything that's that difficult. So if you can eliminate trees, you're golden. Blending's pretty easy then.
Trees or flowers?
Oh yeah, I haven't done flowers yet, so
Yeah, flowers, blending flowers is always,
the same.
especially if it's like, if it's a pano or anything, it's like, ugh.
Oh God, yeah, you gonna have to focus. I don't know if I want to do a panel with flowers.
Yeah, you gotta focus stack and,
That sounds like hell. That's
it.
not worth it to me.
Yeah, I've got a couple of focus stacked shots. Actually, one from Dal's Mountain Ranch. That, yeah, man, if you want to spend time in front of the computer, do some focus stacking.
Yeah, I know. Like there are some things I really enjoy editing. That's not one of the things I enjoy doing. Well, you're not even getting to the fun parts. You just got all this shit that you gotta get through to get to the fun part.
Yeah, I just did a about 9 days rafting the Grand Canyon,
Oh, wow.
and took my so I'm shooting a Sony setup now, so like I have to baby the shit out of it because I don't want it to get wet.
I know. I just switched over to Sony, so that's the only concern I have is like,
Yeah,
don't break down.
right. But man, like it's super dark in the Grand Canyon. I mean, I had a full moon for the first couple of days, but it didn't matter. Like, it was still super awesome. Like, you're down in the Grand Canyon, like on a shore with cactus and crazy yucca and canyon walls
Oh, wow.
and like super wispy clouds. Like, it was really cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I wish I could have spent at least another week just shooting.
Yeah. I can imagine. It's like, yeah, I'll take that again. That was beautiful.
Yeah. Well, cool, man. So, what I took a peek at your website. It looks like you're kind of like mostly just focusing on the night shots and then kind of branching out into the kind of more daytime
Yeah.
sunrise sunset venue. But are you hoping to branch out in terms of your subject matter, or are you kind of just sticking with kind of those
Yeah,
three kind of things?
I'll only do. I could. I want no part of portraiture. I already deal with the public on a day-to-day basis, and so I don't want to deal with them in photography. No, I have no desire to do portraiture or architectural stuff. That doesn't excite me one bit. I love nature, and I'll stick with, doing the night sky stuff, and then doing more of my landscape stuff with that.
Yeah, cool. So what tell me a little bit about how, your success on Instagram, 'cause I know like that's one of the things that's definitely struck me the most about following you is like you've got a pretty big following on there. So what do you attribute that to?
I have no idea. I think honestly, the biggest thing that started really getting features to, was tagging my photos. So tagging them to hubs and doing all that stuff. That was when I started to notice a dramatic increase in my following. And then people just started liking what I was doing. And so
Sure.
that whole because you get 20 tags. And so I just started tagging. I found all these popular hubs that I already followed. And just started tagging those to the hubs, and that's when I started to notice actually a huge increase in my following.
Nice. Do you use any third-party apps to do that, or are you just kind of using the Instagram app and just remembering who to tag?
Yeah, so I keep them in my I'll write a note
Oh,
in my on my phone, so I've got all the ones friends wrote down and then wrote like how many followers they had, so I could remember if I was like, okay, do I want to tag this one? No, they've only got, you know, whatever it may be, this many followers, but this one's, you know, got 2 million followers. Let's tag the bigger one. So, and sometimes you don't see returns right away. I mean, it was, you know, one, it took forever, and I got a feature, this was just like a couple weeks ago, from Tentree, and I tagged them like 6 months ago.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, you just never know what they're doing unless someone reaches out to you and saying, hey, we'd like to feature this one. I never know on these bigger ones. They just, you know, post it. It's typically they post in the middle of the night. So I get up and I'm like, whoa, what the heck just happened?
Yeah.
But that's about the only thing that I can really attribute it to was the bigger thing was, yeah, once I started tagging hubs, then my growth seemed to take off from there.
Cool. Yeah. I kind of have a sort of similar strategy more locally. There's a hub. Well, I guess it's not even a hub. It's like the local chamber of commerce for Durango. It's called Visit Durango.
Oh yeah.
So they just post, you know, photos of Durango and surrounding areas. So kind of my approach has been to be more like, you know, I guess my goal is like, I want to be known as like one of the more well-known guys in this town.
Yeah.
And not like one of the more well-known guys like in the fucking world, because that's a much larger pool and I don't see myself, you know, like it's just not gonna happen.
I have patients like, oh, you're really good, would you do that full time? Like, only when it would replace the exact income that I have right now.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, and you've done the math and you're like, I would have to do like 30 workshops.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
Exactly.
It's a lot of work to put on a workshop. I mean, you gotta.
Oh, it's crazy.
Sorry. To do it legit.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and that's the other thing, too. Like, there's a lot of people doing workshops now, too. Like,
I had really good experience with both of my workshops, but I see people put it on and what they put on. And like, because we're offering a video, I think the biggest thing is, it's not hard to take Milky Way. Like, that's what I told everyone. I'm like, once you have your settings, you don't have to think about it. Like, you lowest f-stop, you know, most of the time.
Sure.
But I'm like, you know, it's 20, 30 seconds, depending on what you land. I mean, it's honestly, in all simplicity, it's super easy to actually get a shot of the Milky Way. Then, now it's the processing. Now, what can you do with that? Are you going to stack it? Some people use tracking.
Right.
What can you do? Because I like perfection, or not perfection, but I mean like a really clean looking file. That's why I go to stacking, because I can eliminate the noise and I can get a better quality image for me. For me, I can't stand noise. I freaking hate it. So
yeah, it's so funny. Like, that's like the one, cause I've been doing knife photography for 6 years now.
Oh yeah.
And that's like the one strategy I have never done. Like, I just haven't bothered doing it because I think part of it is, when I'm in the field, I just don't think of it. I'm like, oh, I just like, oh, I want to get a pano, and oh, like, I want to get this foreground. And like, I like probably for the last 2 years, I'm like, oh, I want to do some stacking. And I just keep forgetting to like do it.
Yeah. The nice part is if you have a Mac, I mean, they have an app, Starry Landscape Stacker. I mean, you don't have to do anything. It does it all for you. So it's not, you don't have to worry. Cause if you had, to do it in Photoshop, it's a pain in the ass. Like, it's going to take you about a half an hour, depending on how many images you have, to get it to line up and do all. I mean, it's, you can do it, but, you know, Starry Landscape Stacker, 8 images, 30 seconds later, it's done, and you've got a photo that's now aligned properly, and it looks so much better. So,
that's cool, yeah. Unfortunately, I don't have a Mac anymore.
They're fantastic for that.
Yeah, but I think there's another program that does it for the PC. I remember seeing someone post about that. I think it was Lonely Spec, maybe.
Yeah, I think it might be. Like, you can do it. Yeah, because Lonely Spec was great. I think I watched every video that they put out. They're fantastic. I really like what they've done.
I think his name's Ian Norman or something like that.
Ian Norman, yeah.
Yeah.
His stuff is, I mean, they put out great stuff. I've learned a lot from them, so.
Yeah, I've been following him for a few years. I like I just, yeah, he's got really, really kind of out of the box ideas.
Yeah, well, yeah. That's. I just refer everyone if they want to learn, Night Sky from
Right.
Boston. I'm like, I don't have too much. I can't type everything. I'm like, go to this
Yeah,
website.
it's so funny when people are like, I'm a, because I taught like, I don't know, three or four workshops when I lived in Colorado Springs
Okay.
for night photography, and like it was honestly not terribly hard to do, but it's like everything that, at least in terms of the shooting side, like you can learn everything if you just spend like a couple hours on the computer reading.
Oh yeah, I was just saying everything. I mean, there's so much to learn, and that's. I think sometimes and that's what that is the one frustrating part of. I try to put my settings and everything, but you still get people that want everything spoon-fed to them. They don't want to do the research themselves. And I'm like, listen, I've busted my butt learning how do I shoot this? What do I do for this? I had to look that up. I didn't have someone just spoon-feeding me information. So some of those people, I just don't even respond back now because. Wasted my time. Like,
Oh yeah, like
look it up yourself. That's what I did.
right, just look it up, like just Google it, dude.
That's why we're trying to set it up so that we can do a little bit more on the processing side of things. To
Yeah.
I think that's where a lot of people lack is they can take the shot and then they don't know what the hell to do with it.
Yeah, I did a workshop right before I moved to Oregon. I did a workshop where so funny. It was a Geminid meteor shower workshop, so it was in December,
Okay. Oh
and it
God.
was like the moon was kind of bad, and then like it was colder than balls,
You gotta be
and
freaking
so like
asshole.
only one guy signed up to do it, and I was like, well, let's go, and it was just like me and this one guy, and then we were out there like freezing our ass off all night, and like clouds were just everywhere, so we didn't get any meteors. And then so but the other so it was a two-part workshop, though. I did one part in the field, and then the next part was like the next day, come to my house and I'll show you how to like process meteor photos, like stacking the layers, and so that was cool. Like you're right, like a lot of people don't know how to do some of that more advanced kind of like, I don't know, techniques in the computer.
What's it?
I'm still learning myself.
I find it funny where people, I've found people, they'll spend so much money on their camera and then their lens. And I say, do you have Photoshop or Lightroom? And they're like, no, I don't have that. And I
Right.
kind of look at them, I'm like, it's $9.99 a month. Like, why the hell are you going to take a picture? Most likely, if you're shooting one of these nice cameras and if you shoot in RAW, why would you not spend the $10 a month, $120 a year, to actually process that shot?
Right. And I mean, the reality is, like, if you're shooting RAW, and you better be shooting RAW, you have to process it. Like, it's non-negotiable.
I had to tell someone, I go, yeah, if you look at the shots off the back of my camera, because I've posted on Reddit before, and somebody's like, what was it straight out of camera? I'm like, it looks like shit straight out of camera.
Yeah.
Because
Well, or like,
I didn't.
the other thing is like
Make it.
on your camera, like when you hit play on your camera, like it's applying the J, it's showing you the JPEG.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's all the JPEG histogram. So yeah,
Yeah.
it's just so funny what we've gotten into this. Photoshop is bad. No, it's not. It's
Yeah.
cool.
I think that's mostly going away. I mean, I think
I think
most
so too. Yeah.
people realize that like 99% of the photos you see that are out there that are worth anything or that look any good, like they've had some pretty significant work done on them in Photoshop.
Absolutely.
God, it's so funny. I don't know, like it sounds like you started and like launched right into like advanced and doing like really cool shit, but like I look back at some of my stuff from when I first started and I'm like, ooh, that looks so bad.
Well, I had read what was it? Adam Woodworth too. So he put
Oh, yeah.
videos out, and so he was the first one I heard about stacking. And so I tried it at my second workshop, and that was with Ben. And I mean, it's funny, some people just they do what they do, and they don't want to learn anymore. But I brought it up to them, and they were like, "No, we're okay. We don't, you go do that." So that's what I did was I stacked my first shots on my second workshop, and I'm like, "I'll just see how this works." And it came out amazing. I'm like, "Oh my God, I get like less noise, more detail."
Yeah.
And I'm like, this looks awesome. Yeah, I'm gonna do this all the time. So,
You're like, why wouldn't you?
if your purpose is to get the best picture possible, why wouldn't you try this? At least try it. And then you go, eh, it worked for me or I didn't like it. No big deal.
Right. Yeah, it's so funny. Like, for probably 2 years, like, people are like, oh, you gotta do luminosity masking. You gotta do luminosity masking. You gotta try it. And I'm like, yeah, like that. I don't wanna do that. And then finally, like, I think this week, I decided to just really give it, like, an honest effort. And, like, I was like, oh, this is actually fucking amazing. Like, it makes what I'm already doing manually in layers like 100 times easier.
Oh my God, it's so much. I mean, I don't use a lot of luminosity masking, but what I do love about the whole thing is the whole panel that brings with it, you know, so you
You're like,
can
oh, I just want to highlight all my darks. Boom, done.
I've got my brush up here, I've got like my different thing. I mean, it makes my life so much easier. I want simplicity. I don't want to be looking around going, okay, now I gotta hit control all, or I just want to, you know, invert my layer mask. Okay,
Right.
this button. So that's what I like about it so much more.
What panel are you using? Are you using?
I have Tony Kuiper's,
TK panels.
yeah, the Vert
Cool.
5. This one's a little bit, it changed a little bit. It's good. It just is a little bit more of a learning curve versus the other ones where everything was spelled out. They took away all the words that were on things, so now you have to like hover over them if you're not real sure what it says. But they've got this, you know, him and Sean Bagshaw's got great
Yep.
videos. I mean, they're fantastic. So they help tremendously. So, and it's what, like $39? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't bought that. I've thought about doing it, but I picked up the free one that I think his name's Jimmy.
Yeah, Jimmy McIntyre. Yeah, the
Yeah,
right.
Jimmy McIntyre. I picked those up, and
I mean,
that it does what I want it to do, so.
oh yeah, because I'm like they're fantastic. I mean, if you can get one that works for you and it does exactly what you need, by all means, use it. It's
And honestly, the thing I use the most from that easy panel is the I mean, it's not hard to do on your own, but I love using the dodge burn layer,
oh yeah.
cause like man, you can do some really cool shit with a dodge burn layer, like.
Oh God, yeah. I mean, I like it so that I can pick my white. So if I know like I want to work on my highlights or whatever, I'll just go to that, you know, and this new one I can see, okay, what am I going to be dodging or burning on? Oh, it's not going over, so I'll just pick that one and I go, okay, cool. I'm going to make my highlights in this area a little bit brighter. Select it, boom, I'm good.
Well, and what I use it for is I actually use it to add color.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great.
Yeah.
Let's see, that's fantastic to use to use color with it.
Yeah, I've got this shot that I took at Coosa Falls, like in
Oh yeah.
Central Oregon.
Yeah, I have not been there yet.
Really cool spot. But we got there like right, I think it was like right before sunrise. And like the sun was rising kind of like right above the waterfall. And it was like all misty up there and stuff. So like I used the dodge burn layer to just add some like just a little bit more color in the trees, like behind like where the sun was rising, just to kind of accentuate that. And it was like perfect. I loved it.
Oh yeah, it's just, I mean, there's so many tools out there that can just help you tremendously in your processing. So that's
I think I think it's so funny when people, I don't know about you, but like the longer you do it, you have people just asking more and more questions,
oh yeah.
and like I guess I like, when you're in the field, like yeah, it takes a certain amount of artistry and eye to and forethought
Yeah.
to like kind of have the end result in mind. But then like, that's sort of a learned skill and sort of like either have it or you don't too.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely.
But then also like I feel like the number one thing people could invest in is just learning how to process.
I totally agree. I feel like there's so many people that just they have no idea what they're doing. So you get these sunrise or sunset shots that are just completely color casted the entire sunset, and it almost looks fake. And so, I mean, just I don't know. I'm a if you're doing photography, learn everything. How to use your camera. You know what all your settings mean, and your ISO and aperture. What does that do? But Yeah, then when you get the picture back, you got to learn how to process. And I've spent a ton of time trying to learn how to process and what do the greats do? So I've got almost every video from Ted Gore, Ryan Dyer. I, did Adamus's training just to try to learn from these guys. These guys that I'm like, man, you guys take amazing shots.
Yeah.
They don't take any better shots than you or I. It's just they know how to process it.
Right. Yeah, no, like.
That's the secret. There's not a lot to it. They take the same, they have the same camera as you and I do. It's not that they know how to make that thing work better. They know how to process their shots better.
Oh, for sure. Well, and again, I think, you also have to have the end product in mind when you're shooting. So, you're taking, depending on your camera, you might, take a shot for the highlights and a shot for the shadows. But other than that, like they know how to use the software to pull out everything that they had in their vision to begin with.
Yep.
But yeah, you're right. That's definitely one thing that I wish I've done more. I've never spent any money on videos or like, I don't know, like maybe it's like being stubborn or whatever. Like I want to figure this out on my own, which is probably stupid because I probably have way better skills by now. But yeah, it's still like, yeah, if I was smart, I would invest in that a little bit more than I have.
That's okay though. That's the nice part about it. When you shoot raw, you can always go back. Like that's the beauty of photography.
That's true.
You know what? Whatever you learn, you can go. You know what? I never got the shot to look right. Now with these new skill sets, I'm gonna go back and reprocess this one. And you go back and you're like, oh my god, this looks amazing. Why didn't I know this before? Oh, it just wasn't your time. But that's nice about it. So you can always go back and change something that wasn't like, what your final vision was at the time.
Right. So Kevin, I think we're pretty much run out of time.
Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed the name of the podcast yet, but I have to give props to my wife because she thought of the name of the podcast, which is F-Stop, Collaborate, and Listen.
I love it.
And so I was kind of thinking that at the end of every episode, I would have my guest kind of give me their version. Like, it doesn't have to sound like Vanilla Ice, but if you want to give me like your version of that to kind of close us out. So hit us.
My version of...
F-Stop, Collaborate, and Listen.
Oh God! Now you put me on the spot. I think that like maybe the theme of it was like get out, shoot, but spend some time in learning how to process and looking at what's going to make your image the best in your mind. And so you don't have to follow anyone else, but spend the time learning how to process your shots, and you'll see your photography explode. I think going back to what we talked about, maybe I think my shots. Because I busted my butt, maybe that's how I got more Instagram fame and whatnot. I don't really know though. But I think that would be my collaborate and listen and reach out to people.
Yeah, yeah. Don't be afraid to reach out for sure.
I'll try to reach out and talk to people. And most it's you get that. They have a lot of followers. Maybe they won't talk to you. I try to talk to anyone who, but and don't be a dick. But
right.
But don't ask me. I don't want, like, what ISO do you, like, some of those questions, I'm like, that you can look up, but how did you stack this? Then, I want a little bit more challenging. I don't want the basic remedial question, because that's, I'm busy, so I don't want to be wasting.
Well, sometimes you have to meet people where they're at, it's,
oh, yeah.
Some people have never gotten out of auto,
like,
what do you mean there's a manual setting that I can tell my camera how long to open the shutter for?
Yeah, I'm like, I posted in my post, so I'm like, okay, did you not read the thing? What are the settings?
The settings are right there, dude.
I'm like, right in the post that you just bypassed, that you wanted to, ask me a question on. So.
So, and then the last question I have is, who would you... want to hear on the podcast?
Oh, that's a good question. I'll put my buddy Steve on there. He's fantastic. Ryan, all is my favorite people. Shane Bloom.
Yep.
Andrew Studer's really good. I really like everything
He's already agreed to be on. I just have to get him to schedule a day.
Look at that. That's perfect. Dyer,
Yep.
and then my buddy Steve.
Yeah, how do you spell his name again?
You got Steve, but then it's SCHWINDT.
Perfect.
Mahesh too. Starving photographer. Mahesh is great. He's one of the nicest guys I ever met on IG.
What's his name?
So it's Mahesh. So MAHESH. But his IG handle is at Starving Photographer.
Okay, I think we follow each other, yeah.
Yeah,
I
Mahesh is
think
great.
so.
He's one of the nicest, like genuinely nicest, great people on IG. So that's I think that's one of the best things about IG is I met so many cool people. Like
Yeah.
very, very rarely have I met that genuine like ooh that was a dud. Most everyone I've met on there has been fantastic. So I'm
Well,
really
I've got three
super.
of the five that you listed already on my list of people to reach out to, so
Look at that. That's awesome.
that's cool. So cool. Well, hey Kevin, sure, really appreciate you being on the podcast, and
I really appreciate
I'll shoot you a link when it's up. I'm probably going to try to record a couple more before I launch,
Yeah, no
just so
problem.
that people have a couple to listen to when it's up there. But
Yeah, once you launch it, let me know and I'll broadcast on my IG and all that too. So,
sweet. Sounds
yeah,
good.
fantastic, man. I appreciate it, Matt.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I really appreciate it, and good luck with the weather, man.
Thoughts for Friday.
I'll send my good vibes your way. I hope
Okay.
for the clear clouds.
I might have to kill someone.
Yeah, I was talking to Michael Bolino. He said he had to go to Utah. He's like, I have to get out of here. This rain is killing me.
Say, I'm gonna buy a flight somewhere. Like, this is just starting to piss me off.
No, I mean, I know exactly what you're talking about. I lived it for 2 years, and I was like, I can't do this.